Good morning, church.
Pleasant Sabbath.
I am really happy to see so many of us out here this afternoon. It's after 12, so it's way after 12 afternoon, and I'm mindful of that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are extremely thankful for your presence with us today. Speak to us through me now. I give myself to you. Hide me behind the cross. Let not me be seen or heard, but let your still voice be heard that will transform our lives to a greater relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. God's word is comforting. Let's go. My sermon is entitled, Another Comforter. You know, it's always exciting in our lives when we have new things enter our lives. We are always exciting when a new arrival takes place in our lives. A new baby, maybe a new house, a new car for the men. A new Mr. Right, Sister Rosemann. When we have a new dress for the ladies, very exciting when they shop. Or maybe a new shoe. I bought a new shoe today. It's in Marks and Spencer's. Very cheap. A new toy for the young ones. A new school. A new class. Maybe like me, when it's time to collect my exam results, I become very excited. So excited that I don't want to go to collect it. These are some of the things that makes us excited. And there are many others. New job. However, on the contrary, there are things that makes us very anxious in life. When we are faced with the seriousness of life and the changes that we have to make, we become very anxious. Maybe it's a new job position. We don't know what we would face. And so we become very anxious because it takes us out of our comfort zone. And so we become very anxious. As we read in the scripture in a morning watch. I'm so used to doing my morning watch with the boys every morning. As we read in our scripture reading this morning, and in the passage from John chapter 14, go all the way down to, I think, John chapter 16, Jesus was preparing his disciples. Or rather, chapter 18, Jesus was preparing his disciples for a life without him in the flesh. If you follow the story well, you would recognize the discussion and the interaction that he had with the disciples. He was preparing them for a life without him in the flesh. And the disciples, they were horrified of the thought of not having Jesus as their continuing companionship. You see, they walk with him, they talk with him, they eat with him, they slept with him, they worshiped with him, he taught them, he fed them, he inspired them, he motivated them for 3 years plus. Jesus was there as their comforter. During all these times, this is all they lived for. He was all they lived for. He was all they knew during those 3 years plus. Now, he was about to depart from amongst them. This created some anxiety among the disciples. They could not imagine or see the future without Christ. And that made them feel very uncomfortable. And towards the end of his ministry, Jesus spent most of his time concentrated on the disciples. Most of this time was spent in seclusion because of the desire to avoid the enemies. At the same time, he wanted to strengthen these men for the task that was before them. And he gave them some exceedingly great promises. John chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he continued on straight down, and again in verse 11 of that same chapter, he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake." He went on to say, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do, shall he do also. Not only that, but you shall do greater work than I have done, because I go to my Father." These words seem a bit strange to the disciples. And furthermore, Christ went on to say that, "I will not leave you comfortless." He says, "I will come to you." In verse 28, again, Jesus said, "Ye heard that I have said unto you, I go away and come unto you again. If you love me," he says, "rejoice because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I." After Jesus said these words, I imagine the disciples' confusion steps in. What is he speaking about? And maybe forward as John was, he must have said, what really does it mean? What is he saying about I go to my Father? This is not wasn't what I catered for. Now, let's have a look of what, you know, discipleship really means to these disciples, being with Christ. To them it means trust wholly in Jesus Christ. To them it was a profound learning experience. To disciples it means leaving the lesser things of life and clinging on to the greater things of life. To them it was an excitement of true fulfillment in their life. To them it was a partnership and relationship with Christ. To them it was a higher reward than anything that they had expected in life. And why did these things mean so much to the disciples? Well, you see, Christ called these men away from where they were felt very comfortable. They were comfortable fishing. They were comfortable deceiving people as the tax collectors. They were comfortable doing all these sorts of things, because that's all they knew, until Christ came in and showed them a different way of life. Christ called them away from their comfort zone, and they felt uncomfortable, to comfort them. Did you get that? Christ called them away from a position of comfort, made them feel uncomfortable, and then he comforted them. What a lovely scene. And so, he's doing the same for us. You see, Christ calls us to comfort us so that we can go and comfort the comfortless. And what a picture. That's where you and I plays in the path of Christ's life. They did not know Christ, but the way he spoke to them, the way he called them, they were motivated to move. When Christ calls you, you have to move, church. When that Spirit speaks to you, you have to move. You know, I was lying on my bed when I got the call. I was about to go and play a football game. I could remember the scene so clearly. I was about to go to play a football game. I was lying on my bed about 9 o'clock in the morning, being prepared. I was psyching up myself, how many goals I will score, how many people I will beat. And the Spirit of the Lord said, you're not going anywhere this morning. You're going to church. You see, the Wednesday before that Sabbath morning, my coach, football coach, who wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist or Christian, he was a Rastafarian, and he told me, listen, you cannot come and see me again until you go to that church meeting there, so that you can score more goals for the team. And that was his exact words. I went the Wednesday night. I didn't decide to go back again until the Sabbath morning. And that's where I got baptized. I went to the tent meeting one night. The next day I went there was the Saturday morning, and I got baptized. When the Spirit of the Lord calls you, you have to move, church. Christ chose these 12 that they should be with him. And they followed him, and they were transformed by the Spirit of God on beyond what they actually expected to happen to their life. Now, they felt so comfortable with Christ, they could not imagine life without him. Is that the way you feel this morning, church? Do you feel that without Christ, do you feel that you could exist without Christ in your life? Do you feel that you can't exist in life without Christ? Well, that's the way I feel. You know, I don't feel that life would be the same without Christ in my life. I cannot imagine life without Jesus being in it. I can't. I don't know how some people could turn away after knowing Jesus and go and do otherwise. I don't know. I cannot imagine it in my life. When I think about some other things I could enjoy outside of Christ, and I think it would make me very happy, but I don't think I can do it. No matter if I try, the Spirit of the Lord, listen, watch this. After knowing Christ, have you ever tried doing something that you know is definitely wrong? You know, it happened to me. I'm very honest. It happened to me. After I know Jesus Christ and came into a real relationship with him, you know, something happened to me a day. It was something I used to do, and I really liked doing it, but it was wrong. And that particular day, nobody was around, and he said, today, I will have a chance. I will take a chance. You know? And I really, my mind was set to do it, but my hands and my feet will not let me. Have you ever had that experience? I started to shake. My hands started to sweat. I started to tremble. I could not do it. I had to turn and walk away. Have you ever had that experience? Is the Spirit of the God take control over your life? You know, greater is he that is in you than he that is without. Greater is Christ in your life than he that is without. When Christ comes into your life, you can't do anything else other than follow him. They visited together the crowded cities. They sailed together. They fished together. They prayed together. They worshiped in the temple together. And again, I cannot see how some people can say, I can stay home and worship God. I cannot see some people saying, after week, after Sabbath, I can stay away from the fellowship of the brethren and worship God. It could never be the same. It could never be the same. The disciples couldn't do it. They couldn't say, well, look, I know Christ already. I will stay home and spend time with my family or spend time with God alone. No. They have to be where Jesus is. This morning, Christ is here. His Spirit is here, and that's where he is every Sabbath besides being home with you. He is here and with everybody. And we can have sweet fellowship one with the other and share experiences. And that was the experiences of the disciples. They couldn't do anything apart from Christ. They watched him and listened to him. They saw what it meant to make a complete surrender to the absolute claim of God over their lives. They saw what it meant to completely forsake sin. They saw the perfection of love in all attitudes and ambition and all relationship. Now watch this. Christ wasn't two-faced. You know, last week I studied with the teens, the juniors rather, the true reflection, reflecting Christ. Christ wasn't two-faced. He wasn't one thing on Sabbath and the next thing in the week. He was always the same. And I always tell people that. You find me the same at work. You find me the same in school. You find me the same in church. I always try to have a smile. I don't try. It happens naturally. I'm a naturally good smiler. And I have good teeth. So I'm proud to smile. Christ wasn't two-faced. One Sabbath you happy and jolly and shaking everybody's hands. And next Sabbath you're cold. You're pulling away. What's that all about? If you have a problem, seek the elders. That's what we're here for. We can make you joyful. We can have a word for you. We can pray with you. Christ wasn't two-faced. He was the same today, tomorrow, and forevermore. He wasn't a moody. He didn't suffer from mood swings. Some of us are too moody in God's church. We're very sensitive. Every little thing touches us. We're ready to coil. And say the sister this, and the brother that, and the next one this. Christ wasn't moody. He didn't suffer with mood swings. You need to spend more time with Christ so that he can transform your mood. You can have a mood transformation. They saw the supreme example of one who was willing to deny himself and for the sake of others. One writer puts it this way. He says, They witness one who demonstrated a unique aloofness from the attachment to material things. Unique aloofness, and I like that word. They saw and experienced one who lived totally for eternity. 11 of those disciples became committed to Jesus. And they could not consider their future without his companionship. It was in this context that Christ continued to tell them, I must go back to my Father. And so he comforted them with these promises. He says, John chapter 14 and verse 16, he says, I will pray for the Father, and he will give you another helper, or some of your Bible says, comforter. And he may abide with you forever. He may abide with you forever. Another comforter. Now again, watch this. It is very important to note the word Jesus used in making this promise. Now in the original language of the New Testament, there are two different words which are correctly translated by our English word, another. You know, and I had to call up my Greek scholar for this. My Greek Bible, Brother Eddie. So if I got it wrong, don't blame me, blame him. I got it from him. Now the word alos or alos is always used. Did I get it right, Brother Eddie? Right. Alos always used when another of like kind is referred to. Did you get that? The word alos is always used when another of like kind is referred to. Now the Greek word, and I hope I get this right as well, hetheros, I put my tongue in the right place, hetheros are used when another of a different kind is referred to. Now, when Christ spoke here about another comforter, and get it straight, he used the word alos, which means he was referring to of like kind, of the same kind, of the same kind like me. In other words, he was saying, I will send you another comforter who would comfort you just the same way I comfort you when I was here. Of same like kind. I am going to pray to the Father and he will send you another counselor, another comforter, another helper of exactly the same kind, Brother Amos, as he succours you, and he will succour you exactly the same way I have done it. He will talk to you. He will walk with you. He will teach you. He will convince, instruct, and correct you in the same way I did it when I was here. No different. He will be on your side just as I were when I was here. Just to note, I went a little further with that, Brother Eddie. I went and looked up what it means to be by the side and the Greek word. And the Greek word for that is parakletes. Brother Eddie, did I get it right? Parakletes. It means to be by the side with you. I will walk with you by your side. This has been the disciples' experience for 3 years plus. Jesus told them the Comforter will be with them always, forever. Christ promises that the Holy Spirit will be here for us. The servant of the Lord said in her writings, the Holy Spirit will be a far greater blessing than to us than his earthly presence could have ever been. You know why? Because they will be doing more. They will have more experience. They will endure more. They will do more miracles than Christ ever done when he was on the face of the earth. All because of the Holy Spirit being in their life. You see, Christ is more willing to give us the Holy Spirit, she says, than we are willing to ask. Powerful statement. How can we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we continue to hold on to frivolous things that puts up a barrier between us and our relationship with Christ? We can't have it. The Holy Spirit will not come into a full vessel. We have to empty ourselves of self and pride so that he can come into our lives. As we face the challenges of life, we need to accept by faith the presence of this Comforter who came on the day of Pentecost and dwell in the church. He was evident in the life of the prophets of old. He came on the day of our conversion and dwell in our hearts. 1 Corinthians says, do we not know that the temple of God, that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Do you not know that? His indwelling brings new and fresh meanings to our lives. It gives us strength that we might face our daily living. It helps us overcome the temptations that we may face daily in life. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 also emphasize, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Zechariah 6, 4 and verse 6 says, not by might, nor by power, but by thy spirit, said the Lord of hosts. With eagerness, we should listen to the voice as he speaks to our innermost being, as we study our Bible, as we pray, and as we see the condition of the world today. First Kings says, as he go forth and stand out on the mount of the Lord, behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and break it into pieces, and a rock before the Lord, but the Lord, he was not in the wind. And after that, the wind and earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, after the fire, a still small voice. And so Elijah went when he heard it. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. You see, the still small voice we have to pay attention to. Wherefore Hebrews says, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. The songwriter in the song 264, he says, oh, for that flame of living fire, which shone so bright in saints of old, which bade their souls to heaven aspire, calm in distress, in danger bold. In verse 2 he says, where is that spirit, Lord, which dwells in Abraham's breast and sealed him thine, which made Paul's heart with sorrow melt and grew in energy divine. Verse 5, remember, Lord, the ancient days, renew thy work, thy grace restored. And while to thee our sore hearts we raise, on us thy Holy Spirit pour. Today, friends, the Comforter is here once again. Would you accept him? Would you take up the challenge and leave your comfort zone so that he can comfort you? A friend of Vance Havana, famous preacher, says, he coined by combining the word quench and squelch. He used to say, don't squelch the spirit. He thought it was so descriptive that he often used it in his preaching. Havana says, squelch the spirit. We squelch the spirit in more ways than we suspect. We do so when we stifle the desire to speak or act on behalf of the Lord. We do so when we criticize and discourage others by our unspiritual attitudes. We throw cold water on their inner flame or fire. We have the honor of the Holy Spirit, and He is our guest in every gathering like these. But we can grieve Him very easily with our frivolous attitudes and our rebellious frame of mind or fed up complacency. All this would grieve the Holy Spirit. This morning we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We want to accept Him into our lives. And how can we do that? First, we must accept Jesus Christ as His personal friend, as our personal friend and Savior. And this week, we have been learning so much with the children about God's love. It's comforting. It's life-changing. It's for everyone. I'm forgetting two. Help me. It's surprising. And God's word is true. God's word is so true. I've known it from the day I accepted Him. And today is the same. Accept the Holy Spirit. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. This morning, I give you another comforter. May God bless us as we continue to serve Him. Amen.